The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Jamie Rogers is up. Rogers sees the left!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Marjorie Shelburne! Noelle Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Shelsley 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross, Stephen Higgins!
Kilduff is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's all over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello. A warm welcome once again to the 1895 podcast. This is the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. Back with you once again. We had a little bit of an off week last week since the retirement of Stephen Doody. We're struggling with injuries, a bit like the men's first team. We're a bit short for bodies. But one man who'll always put his hands up when times are tough, Adam Leonard, joins me. Adam, how are you?
All good, Dar. All good. Big week of action, wasn't it, last week? So, yeah, I'm happy to be here with you again.
The Shane Farrell of the media team. You can jump in wherever. Commentary, podcasts, you name it.
Come here. If I was half the player as he is at the media gig, I'd be doing all right, wouldn't I?
Here, Mr. Versatile. Adam, how are you? I guess the best place to start, Friday night, Tallaght Stadium. You were there, sold out away end. Rovers were very quick to pat themselves on the back. 800 people, or 8,000 people, I should say, near 8,000 people. But 800 of them are Shells fans, and they sold that allocation out very quickly. So I guess, Adam, a starting point, a word of credit for a brilliant away support at Tallaght.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, especially in derbies, we never fail to show up in numbers, whatever about the other games, but particularly derbies, Rovers and Bows, we're always there full of flair and everything. I think Friday night as well represented, I suppose, a big point. Like, I was getting texts on Friday afternoon about spares and stuff like that. And, you know, for an 800 allocation, I can't remember the last time I was getting a text about a spare on a Friday afternoon, but... we were absolutely great again, weren't we? I think we never failed to back the team, especially when they need it, especially at points in the game where we were kind of under the cosh a bit. And I think going forward, I think Will Jarvis on the left side, particularly in the first half, really thrived off that energy from the crowd and gave Dan O'Cleary a torrid time there. But absolutely great ways forward as always, and I was happy to be involved.
I was watching, I didn't get to the game, so I ended up having to watch it back the next day. I watched it back on Saturday on the RT player, so it was great to have it on TV to reflect on it. But in that first half, I'd certainly from watching on the television, it looked like Jarvis gave Rovers an awful time. We didn't create very many clear-cut chances, but head and shoulders, he was the best players on the pitch. And I definitely thought that we were the better side in that first 45.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's probably Will's best game. I think he's had games where he showed a lot of pace, a lot of power down the left-hand side, and you know he's given the majority of people he's played against a nightmare. But I think to do what he done on Friday night against Dan O'Cleary says a lot about the player he is. I think, look, he's only a young lad, isn't he? And he's coming abroad from Hull, and you know it's tough. I think Steve talked about before in the podcast about the differences between underage football and then obviously the men's game, and you know coming into this league is no joke. And I think he's come into it like a duck to water. I think he's taken to it very well. To be honest with you, I think we've probably yet to see the best of himself and Harry Wood. I think we've yet to see the best of them. I think they're only getting to kind of into the new climate and stuff, but they're doing very well. And there was points in the game on Friday where I think we were all just willing the ball to get to him, and he was doing like little pirouettes and stuff in his own box at one point. And you know, the outfielders in the crowd were to join him. You could hear them, you know, him and Hahn. But he's very confident on the ball, and I think that's something that we probably don't see a lot of in general anymore. I think a lot of football is very systematic, etc. But to see a young lad getting on a ball and running at someone, it's very graceful. And look, he was unfortunate not to get a goal, but he caused so many problems, and it can only be a good thing for Shells.
Yeah, he's made a very, very positive impact himself, Harry Wood and Harry Fisk indeed, since coming in. I know Harry Fisk has had limited game time. I've only seen him once. I saw him in the friendly against Longford Town at Talca, and he looks like he's got a bit about him. But by all accounts, he certainly helped the other two boys settle in, and they're getting on well and thriving and really enjoying living in Dublin. There was a piece on the whole website with Harry Wood, and he talked about, you know, obviously a difficult adjustment and learning curve living in a different country, but he's thriving and enjoying his football. It's a weird one, Adam. I guess that second half, it's probably just tells you what happens when you have to play 3 games in 7 days. I find it mad that we go 3 weeks without a game and then 3 games in 7 days. We had Cork, we had Bowes, and we had Rovers. And you can just see in that second half, lads start to tire. It's not even about a physical conditioning thing. It just felt like they'd had a lot of minutes in a short space of time. We're bringing on Bemi Arubi. They're bringing on Jack Byrne and Richie Tell. Obviously, nothing against Bemi, but the depth of the Rover squad, it's probably the difference for them in the end.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like, if you were to look at that first half in comparison to the second half, I just think it was a case of, as you said, players getting tired. And I think Jack Moylan, look, for as good as he is, he never stops running. And you could just see at a point in the second half, he was just wilting a bit. He was just, you know, he wasn't pulling up with cramp or anything, but you could just see that the minutes in his legs that he'd have played, you know, in that week alone really caught up with him. And I think there's a lot to be said in football about rhythm and a kind of, you know, patterns of play, etc. And Shells are very good at that. They have, you can see the clear ideas that Shells have at times. But there's not a whole lot you can do in terms of pressing when the bodies are tired and they're feeling it. And look, it's a very good squad we have. You can't deny that. But when you're missing the likes of Sean Boyd and Matty Smith, I think in particular, he was very industrious himself. He loves getting in and about. He's good on the ball. He has a finish in him. I think when you're coming up against Rovers, and as you said, look at the returning Jack Bourne and now even Aaron Green off the bench and stuff, like they really, there's no kind of competing with that as good as Shells are. And look at coming away from Talon Friday with a point, you would have been hand off anyone for that, but it just wasn't to be in the end. And it probably was the difference in squad. And I don't even want to say quality, because I think there's real quality in our front line in particular and the defensive shape as well. And I just think overall, yeah, probably an issue with the squad towards the end that got Rovers over the line.
Yeah, it's probably just you're down to numbers. Like you look at Boydie not involved, Matty Smith not involved, J.R. Wilson not involved. It's very, very difficult to try and get any kind of run. Like Boydie last year got 11 goals in the league. I think he got 15 goals overall for the season. Mm. Like you take him out of the team, and the fact that we're actually, I'm not going to say a better team without Sean Boyd, because we're not a better team without Sean Boyd, but we're performing really, really well despite losing him, which shows how far the squad has come. I think if Boydie's fit for the season, I think we're comfortably in that top three. You know, we're hovering around about it at the moment, but I think if Boyd is fit, that race for Europe is going to have a different complexion on it. Like we've come on so much as a club in the last year. I think we finished 38 points behind Rovers last season. Before a ball was kicked on Friday night, we were 9 points behind them. So they're definitely a good few years ahead on their journey. Like we were in the first division when they were winning the second of what would be their four in a row, the second league title. Like we were just coming up from the first division. So I don't think they're ahead of us in terms of quality. I think they're more mature as a group and a setup. Like I would love to see where we'll be in year four under Duffer and the management team, because what we've seen in the first 2 years has been brilliant. I get the sense that as a whole, Shells fans are really excited by what's happening on and off the pitch at the moment. And Adam, do you think if we get Europe, brilliant? If we don't, am I right in saying it, like it wouldn't change anything? It wouldn't change anything about the progress that's been made over the last 18 months?
Yeah, I think progress-wise, look, at moving up the tables, it's always a good thing. And I don't think there's a whole lot between the likes of ourselves and say, Pats and Bows or whatever. So finishing behind them is fairly relevant in terms of, you know, player quality and that. So it's one of those things where if we don't get Europe, look, it is what it is. But I think to even being with a chance of Europe, given the kind of journey that you're talking about, so early in Duffer's kind of tenure at Shells, it says a lot about where Shells are as a club, and I think where Duffer is as a manager as well, I think it says a lot about him. The thing is, as well, I think the problem we face sometimes is football is so reactive. You know, I think after the Cork game in Talca, you know, we won that game, and obviously the Bows game followed on the Monday, and Rovers on Friday just gone. People were saying to me, look, do you think Shells can win the title? And I was standing there going, geez, lads, relax. Like, people were saying, you know, win the next two games and then you're 4 points off Rovers with four games. And look, it's all dream stuff, isn't it, really? Like, we'd love to be going into the last game of the season, drop it away again, where we've had great memories of the first division title and stuff in 2019. Going down there with a hope of European football or for some people, the league title a couple of weeks ago would be great. But I think, look at where we are as a club and as a team as well, to do what we've done without the players that are out as well. You know, Lukey hasn't played as many games as what you might have wanted him to. Boyd, obviously, you know, being injured. Matty Smith as well. So, like, I think we've come on a long way and the progressions there is clear to see. You know, a lot of League of Ireland fans wouldn't like to say it, but if Shells were to get Europe, Damien Duff is manager of the season in my eyes. So, yeah, look, the club's come on leaps and bounds. And I think long may it last. And I think it will continue for the next season and season after, hopefully.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I think he's in the conversation for manager of the year, irrespective of that. I think he's done a brilliant job. I probably was one of the people that had a look at permutations and how many points do you reckon we need? I listened to the podcast LOI Central with Dan and Johnny, and they were kind of asked to, you know, what will be top three, and they kind of arrived at a number of 60, 62 points might get you in the top three. I actually think it'd probably be maybe a bit lower. Like, I still think there's a couple of twists and turns before the end of the season. I don't think there's I don't think it's over. I think there's a lot of drama still to come. I think if we win that game on Friday night against Dundalk, it becomes very, very interesting. Like, we're 2 points behind Bows, still within a swing of we win, they lose, and we're ahead of them. So I think staying in that kind of that area, that's the main thing. Like, even if we were to lose and they were to only draw, we're still, you know, a win and a loss away from them. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting running, that's for sure. Rovers, you'd probably imagine now they will sew up the title. There was a lot of talk, Adam, about the goal, that the winning goal. It's probably not a goal fitting of settling a Dublin derby. It was a real, I don't know, just scaldy goal.
it just trickled in, didn't it? And I think there was a lot of people online quick to slay Conor Kearns in goal, and I personally wouldn't be one of them. Look, if it is what it is, like, Conor saved us so many times this season where you've gone, look, these things are bound to happen at some point, and it just trickles in, it goes past. And I think from Duffer's point of view, he's probably frustrated with maybe the pressing and you know, closing down the Graham Bourke as he's striking. I think it was JJ Lunny, but in saying that, JJ Lunny ran the midfield all game. You know, I think himself and Mark Coyle played such a good game. So it's hard to kind of criticise these goals. I think in terms of the game and kind of the hype leading into it, you probably wouldn't have expected a goal like that to win it, especially given some of the goals in the fixtures past. But it is what it is.
I don't agree. I think you would expect Graham Bourke to have a shot on his left foot from this. Conor will probably look back on it and think he should have done better, but for me, he's been our player of the season, certainly there. I don't think he owes anyone anything. I think he probably isn't expecting the shot to come from there. He's probably thinking it'll never get to him, but he's been phenomenal and immense, and I don't think we'd be where we are without him. So zero criticism of him. I would probably 100%. Criticize a bit of naivety from JJ and one or two around him, who just everyone on the ground could see what Burke was hoping to do with the position he was in. You just have to get closer. If you have to foul him, you have to foul him.
And I think as well, he scored one like that in Tyler earlier in the season, didn't he? Now, not quite like that. It was a left-footed effort that went into the top corner, but it's similar in the sense where you're affording space on his left foot to strike. And look, as I said, no criticism from me towards Conor Cairns. I've seen discourse online given out about him, but look, Conor's been one of our best signings, I'd argue. So, look, it is what it is. Frustrating goal to concede, but what can you do?
Yeah, it's one of those. You mentioned, Adam, something that I found really interesting there. You mentioned Luke. I think Luke's played one game in 6 or 7 weeks. Like, there was times last season where if Luke Byrne didn't play, you'd be absolutely rattled and you'd be terrified of, you know, geez, we could concede 3 or 4 here today. You're looking at Adam Thomas, Aaron O'Driscoll. What's going to happen? But we it says a lot again about how far the team has come. We've had to cope without Lukey, without Maddie, without Sean Boyd for long, long periods in the season and still being competitive and still going into games thinking, yeah, we've enough about us here. So when you talk about that progress, obviously there is depth in the squad, but injuries have come at a bad time and we are left a little bit light with that. And probably just Rovers have that, you know, they're building 4, 5, 6 years and they have a squad that you can tell that they've had, you know, 6, 7 transfer windows to build and we haven't. So at the end of the day, Duffer's had what, 2 windows? A winter window, 2 summer windows, 2 winter windows. We're building, which I think is positive.
Yeah, I think building at the foundation of Gavin Molloy as well, I think is probably key to what I think Gav is so far beyond his age, you know, in terms of quality, and I think leadership as well, that's something he doesn't lack in any ways. And I think we're very lucky to have him. I would go as far as say young player of the year, and I know we're talking about Conor being, you know, our player of the year. You could easily look at Gavin Molloy as well in that vein, and he's such a quality player, and I think he's come on tenfold under Duffer as well. So, you know, we're without Lukey, but when you have the likes of Gavin Molloy, who missed a few at the start of the season as well, I think people might forget about that. And then obviously Paddy Barrett slotting in there, Griff comes back away in Cork and Paddy's staying, stuff like that. Like, there's been moments in the season where things have fell right, and I think we're at a stage now where we just have a few bodies out, we're trying to catch up on a few games and stuff, and injuries have come at a bad time. And look, this is all a part of football, and I do completely agree with you. I don't think there's a lot in it, and I do think there's a lot of twists to come still, especially with, I think, Bowes and Pat's ball in the cup as well. Like, they'll have an eye on that, especially given the fact they're against Cork and Galway. All due respect to them as well. They've had Galway in particular have been really good this season, but they'll have an eye on the cup as well, you'd imagine, if they own the Aviva. So, look, there's still plenty of football to be played.
There's something very, very troubling about, you know, going into a cup semi-final and wanting Bowes to win it, because like, we nearly, you know, third is not out of reach at the moment, fourth definitely not out of reach, but you'd nearly want a Bowes or a Pats to win the league, so that place drops one down.
This is it.
Or win the cup, I should say, not win the league. Jesus Christ, we're not there yet.
You're probably looking at, I'd imagine if you're to pick a team now, you'd probably fancy Pats. I think one of the lads was saying that, you know, the Bowes players have definitely got eyes on the cup. You know, this is all innuendo and rumour, so whether it's true or not is another story. But I think we kind of saw that on Monday when Chels came out against Bowes. Like, they came out, that looked like they were more hungry than Bowes were. Obviously, Bowes come out and have that second half performance. But both sides definitely have eyes on the cup, you'd imagine. And, you know, I think we were the same last season at points where, you know, when we got to the final, I was very much almost seeing past league, given the fact that we were more or less safe. And, you know, that's probably to detriment as well. You don't want to do that because, again, you lose rhythm doing stuff like that. So, as I said, look, there's plenty of twists left.
Yeah, there definitely is. Adam, before we get into looking back on Saturday's win for the WNL side, the champions, the cup holders, We might get into our Richie rankings. This is where we separate the good guys in life, the Richie Bakers, the people you admire, the people you want to grow up to be, the people who give you joy in football, from the bad guys, the Richie Winters, people who ruin sporting occasions by sheer force of being a wet wipe. Adam, I'm going to go with my Richie Winter of the week. I actually have two this week. And fittingly, for the first time ever, my Richie Winter of the week is actually going to be a referee. I'm going to give I'm going to give one of them to Paul McLaughlin, because I thought he was rubbish. It's one of these in this league. We constantly have the same conversations over and over again. Some of the decisions actually, like, they're laughable and they make a show of the league. And I think I'd be easier on referees if it wasn't for the fact I think they're demented and they genuinely think they're doing a great job. I listened to Tomás Connolly on LOI Central a while ago. And it was just the most lacked all self-awareness. You know, it was very condescending. He spoke about how, you know, the issue is people don't understand the laws of the game. There's no even rules. People don't even know that. And it was real. It was very lecturous and school teacher. And like, it just, he refused to accept that there's any issues or concerns around the standard of refereeing in the country. And he said that the problem is not refereeing. It's people aren't smart enough to interpret the laws of the game and understand the decisions. And that for me just underlines all that's wrong with refereeing and the League of Ireland level in this country. It's policed by and ran by people with massive egos and not near enough talent to back up those egos. And chief among them would be Paul McLaughlin for me. And I think he really messed up the last day. It was very clearly a penalty, and for reasons only Paul McLaughlin knows, he decided not to give it. Obviously not the first time we've been on the receiving end of an absolutely terrible refereeing decision. But yeah, my Richie Winter of the week is going to a referee for the first time.
Yeah, I'm the exact same as you. I think there's a lot of discourse at the minute, especially in the Premier League, about referees and stuff that, okay, we don't have the luxury of having to deal with VAR, but I couldn't imagine a League of Ireland referee dealing with something like that. There's almost like an arrogance, a narcissistic belief amongst themselves that the game doesn't go ahead without them. And, you know, I know a few lads who do refereeing and stuff, and look at they referee underage level or whatever. And one of the things they always say, tongue-in-cheek, is you look at no ref, no game. And that's very true. But at the same time, I think there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And I think particularly, you know, the Bowes game on Monday, there was one or two and you're kind of shaking your head. And not just from a Shell's point of view, from a Bowes point of view as well. The lack of consistency is unbelievable. And I think as much as we're trying to bring the league forward in terms of quality and, you know, infrastructure, etc., Duffer said this himself, the referees have to come along with it, because if that's not the case, then you're going to have people tuning in and falling out with the game if the refereeing's so poor. And I have the same Richie Winter as yourself. But it's one of those things. I don't like giving out about referees. I don't think a lot of people do, but when it's deserved, I think it has to be done.
I wouldn't mind if they came out and said, this is what we need to be able to get to the next level. We don't train enough. Our mileage isn't good enough. If we had, you know, better match fees, we'd be able to devote more time to it. Fine. Give us a way of improving the standard of officiating in the country. Instead, you have one of the country's top officials. I think, what's Tomás Connolly? Is he like a referee educator now, or is he head of the referees? And he's going on a podcast, and instead of accepting, you know, what is really, really clear to anyone who watches League of Ireland football, that it's not good enough across the board generally, he just makes this weird gaslight thing of, oh no, you fans, you players, you supporters, you managers, you don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, what is going on? Like, what world are, can you not just accept that there's an issue here, and can anything be done to address it? And this whole thing of, oh, sure, our referees go away and they referee in other places. It's like, yeah, because every referee does that. Like, if you're a part of the UEFA panel, it's like going on a fucking school tour. Everyone gets to know at some stage. Like, now it's very dispiriting and like happens all the time, happens really often. And yeah, it's just, it's boring. It's a boring conversation every week. Referees made a mistake. The one in the Pats game was absolutely ludicrous. Did you see that?
In the Pats game, the penalty that wasn't given.
The Drogheda, Pats Drogheda, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So again, but it's just, that's pure negligence. That's doing your job badly. Like, do you know what I mean? The problem I have as well is just this lack of accountability. Like, these lads do something wrong and it's like, ah, it's okay. They're refereeing a game this weekend anyways. Like, it's the lack of accountability is staggering to me. And I think, I suppose, with Tomás Connolly as well, by the way, it's a very defensive mindset to have when you're going into a debate as well. It's, you know, you should be able, especially in the position he's in, to give a coherent argument as to why referees act how they act. Instead, he's being very defensive. He's being very almost contrary to an extent and saying, you know, we're not the problem, you're the problem, when it quite literally is the other way around.
They go around dressed in black, telling everyone what to do and assuming they run the world. Bouncers, referees and priests. Three of the most difficult people you'll ever come across. It's a boring debate. It's a waste of time having it. But at the same time, you would be driven demented, genuinely. Mm. Because it's, what'll change it? Like, how many times are we going to have to get it wrong before something changes? Like, do the Daily Mount on Monday night, the referee missed a back pass. Like, I don't know if you remember that one last Monday night, but he missed a back pass and you're like, but the lino's on that side and he can clearly see it. Like, you can see that that's not the keeper can't pick that up. But yeah, look, they missed a penalty the last time there, so
it was the lino on the Monday night that really done my head in, because I think there was a potential penalty as well on Jack Moyle at one point where I think he flicked the pass Talbot and Talbot just, you know, hacks him down. And then I think there was one after Bowes had scored, Afolabi was running away to celebrate. And as he was running away, it seemed as though he elbowed Conor Cairns. Now, I don't know, like, in the heat of the moment, you're kind of going, what the hell, referee? What the hell, Lino? Like, how is that? Like, how is that? How are you letting him away with that? But it's just one of those things. I do agree with you. It is. It's a very boring argument to have, but at the same time, it's one of those things. It's very frustrating, and I think it takes away from the kind of appeal of the league big time. But I think if you're looking at a game and the referee, one, doesn't have control, and two, is acting arrogant and, you know, throwing his weight around, you're kind of saying, well, if this referee doesn't really give a shit, then I shouldn't really care, you know? So it is. It's frustrating.
Give us your Richie Baker of the week, Adam. One of the good guys.
I'm giving it to Jack Moylan. I think in the past few weeks he's been particularly good. The game against Cork, I thought he was immense and took his goal very well. And then I thought up in Daly Mount, it was a bit like the goal that Harry Wood got down in Dundalk. He does well, gets on his right foot and smacks it into the back of the net. I think Jack is just a fabulous player. And like, you look at his stats this season, you know, 10 goals in the league, a couple of assists. You know, I think he's upped his game in terms of, you know, the industry side of it, you know, with Preston, etc. And I think he's a real all-round player, and the move abroad is well-deserved. And I had a funny moment with Stewie on commentary for the Cork game where I said, it's going to be emotional to see him going, to which Stewie replied, will he be crying when he leaves? And I don't think I'll be as far as crying, but he's given the club some good moments in the past few years. And yeah, it'll be sad to see him go, but I think the past few weeks has been immense. And yeah, he's my Richie Baker for the week.
Well deserved. I'm going to add my Richie Baker of the week. I'm going to give it to an icon. I'd say we'll get this award a few times over the next few years, but Pearl Slattery back in the team, scoring a very important goal, leading the team to a very important win. DLR, Reds, big game. Keeps the momentum going, and look, all the pressure's on P-Mount. It's their title to lose. The Reds will continue to chase, but really it is very much in their hands, barring some incredible stuff over the last four games. But the Reds have a cup semi-final to look forward to, and an important win to get that away from home. So I'm going to give it to Pirlo, icon, one of the best captains we've ever had at this football club. I'd probably put herself and Lukey up there with the very best ever to have the armband. Going to add another one, Adam. So we've the Richie rankings, the Richie Baker, the Richie Winter. I'm going to add my rattled. So someone who's well and truly been rattled this week. I'm not going to spring you on it and ask you to pick one, but I am going to pick Stephen Bradley as my rattled of the week. Listening to some of his interviews and watching what he said, he seemed absolutely on strings.
Yeah, he was. Like, there's a lot of chat about, you know, the Shell side, and, you know, I know it's over kind of the siege mentality at times, it's little old Shells, but for little old Shells, he seemingly had a lot of, you know, almost anger towards us, and it's really odd. I do quite enjoy Bradley at times. I think he's a very good manager, but he kind of lost the plot before the game, and I think had Shells won, he would have been all over the shop. Some strange comments as well. I think it just shows again how much of an impact Duffer's made on the league as of Shells, the Shell side. So I suppose you have to leave him to it, don't you?
It was a weird old thing. Like, it's, you're closing in on a fourth league title. It's amazing. It's history matching. It's a huge achievement. It'd be very rare it's done. I don't think we'll see it again anytime soon. But you're talking about Shell's budget, and you're talking about someone in your board is out to get you. It was real, like, real paranoid or something.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
It was great for the league. I always have said it, and the much maligned Gabe report. Remember, I gave a copy of it, printed up, and gave it to Dave O'Connor for his birthday when he started at Shells, just so he could get a grasp of, you know, what would be expected of him in the role. But the Gabe report, Jonathan Gabe, referenced starting WWF style feuds in the league. It's interesting, and there's definitely one or two feuds started. I think Bradley versus Shells is a big feud. It's talking about our budget, spends all the time calling us defensive, even though we scored some brilliant goals. Absolutely nothing defensive about the goals we scored up in Tala this year. A second goal in that Rovers game, the 2-2 draw, is probably one of the manager described as the best team goal of the season, and I don't think he's wrong. So yeah, our rattled of the week goes to Mr. Stephen Bradley, who, when not falling out with Shells, he seems to be determined to fall out with his own board.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think as well, like, he sounds very worried about his own side. And look, a Rovers are an aging side, but this aging Rovers side is still, you know, better than the majority of the leagues. You know, I don't think there's cause to be as worried as what he sounds to be. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
He's young and he forgets that, like, I've followed it from afar. The consensus seems to be that there's people on the Rovers board who don't want to keep losing $1.5 million, $2 million a year, because where will it get them? And obviously football manager like Pat Fenlon when he was here and others, they want money for players, and they're not too worried about where the club will be in 10, 15 years time, because their career and the clubs tend not to be inextricably linked. So managers will always want more money and bigger budgets, but it's up to the people who run football clubs to decide, you know, how much they have. And it's a weird one, because I would think Rovers would be hyper aware of what happens when you get a bit loosey-goosey with the finances, because they were nearly ruined. You know, maybe you're too young to remember Ads Rovers playing in Talca, and, you know, lucky if they get a couple of hundred people there, club on their knees, falling apart. Why would you want to go back there, you know?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't have been around at that point, but I think it's very concerning for the league as well, if that is the case, that they're kind of scrambling. And, you know, I know it's happened a lot around the league. I think Dundalk have had issues, and look, that's, from a league point of view, it's not good. And I think there's still a lot of problems with a lot of the League of Ireland in terms of infrastructure. I mentioned that, and I think coverage is another thing. You know, I'm probably a benefactor of that, in the sense that I get to do a bit of work for LOI TV, but that's not readily available to most people. I know you can get online or whatever, but I think the league probably needs a proper backed, you know, television sponsor. And that'll help clubs. That'll help clubs accumulate money as well. So it's one of those things. I think if Rovers are in a bad position in that sense, and they're coming into what, their fourth league title in a row, then that's not very good at all.
Yeah, it makes it going to be an interesting run in for them, an interesting run in for us. Adam, the Dundalk game, I think we described the game against Cork as the biggest game in 20 years, and it certainly was, because a loss in that would have been very detrimental to the European hopes. Obviously, the loss at Tallaght was a bit of a setback, but still a chance to finish in fourth spot and potentially third, not completely out of reach either if results go our way and one or two others have some setbacks or stumbles between now and the finish line. This Dundalk game, how are you feeling about it? Is it as big as people are making it out to be?
I think it is. I think there's a thing with Dundalk since we've come back up. I'm fairly certain themselves and Rovers, they're the only teams we've yet to beat in the league. I know we've beaten Dundalk in the Leinster Senior Cup, but I don't think we've quite had them yet in the league. So there's that bit of needle. You want to finally get that win over them. Same way it would be with Shamrock Rovers, and then obviously everything else that goes into the Rovers game. It's a massive game. It's look, if Shells get a win here, you go into the next game, you know, really confident and the confidence is back. I think the game on Friday against Rovers, I thought it represented a very confident Shells side which, you know, was comfortable enough taking on the champions and soon to be champions probably. Dundalk, if Dundalk win, they obviously go above us in the league, which, you know, would put Shells six naturally enough, and you know, Bowles play in the cup next time around. So, like, you could get one up on Bowles in that sense where you go ahead of them and then you look at Dundalk and you can kind of write them off in terms of a European run. They've had a bit of a tough time in the league recently as well. So you kind of want to, you know, get them at a good point, take advantage of them not being great at the minute and, you know, hurt them while you can.
Yeah, they had a bad run, Dundalk, over the last few weeks. Obviously, they lost to Derry, they lost to Galway, they lost to Pats. They bounced back in serious style against Cork. Mind you, Cork are probably the worst team in the country. Themselves, UCD, have battled it out at times for being terrible. But they had a big win against Cork and a decent win against Drogheda. Drogheda are not easy to beat, especially that loud derby carries an awful lot of significance. Patrick Hooban, Daniel Kelly among the goals. Like, they'll come to Talca with a lot of confidence. The stakes are very, very high for both sides, aren't they?
Yeah, well, this is it. I think Dundalk will want to make a good final impression as well. Like, as things stand now, they're still well in the European run. The race kind of, you know, as we said, look at the games against Derry and Pats, look at their two of the better teams in the league, you know, the results that Dundalk be disappointed with. But I think the game against Galway really represented probably a team low on confidence. I know they go up against Stroud and Cork and get the wins, and I think that's the nature of the business at the minute. Games coming ticking fast after having to wait a couple of weeks for them. So I think from Michelle's point of view, you'll just want to, you know, do your own thing. I think get Harry Wood involved as much as possible again. I think Friday night just showed his real class. Like, he doesn't really lose the ball. His touch is great, and you'd want him to be involved as much as possible. Jack Moylan, again, you look, he's had a bit of a prolonged time to relax this week and get some, you know, rest into the legs. Same with Jarvis on the wing. And, you know, I think for Shells, it's interesting, you know, do they go with Shane Farrell? Do they go with Caffrey? The options are there, and look, obviously still without Boydie and Matty Smith, but there's definitely still, we definitely have the ability to beat Dundalk. I don't think that's in doubt. If Shells play their best game on Friday, I can see Shells win.
Speaking of bad refereeing decisions, we had a perfectly good goal disallowed last play days. Paddy Barrett picked the ball off Nathan Shepherd, put it in the back of the net, and Shepherd went down holding his face, even though it was a game on RTE, so they had crystal clear close-up replays. You can't touch goalkeepers, can you?
The most protected men in the world of football are goalkeepers, especially in their own box. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Adam, I'm going to push you for a prediction for Friday.
Look, as I said, I think Shells will want to, you know, get the monkey off their backs and get that win over Dundalk. And even games this season, we've been there in Dundalk. I think Kyle Robinson had a goal chalked off or offside when it wasn't offside, and down there in Dundalk when it was 1-1 in August on the Banker, and obviously the game that you just mentioned, RT, there's been needle to this game. I definitely think, as I said, Shell's played their best game. I can see them winning, so hopefully they do, and hopefully it's a 2 or 3-1 affair.
Interesting. Interesting. Adam, great to chat about that game. The other big one on Saturday, they don't get any bigger than the Ringsend Derby. A lot of people thought Rovers just coming into the league, a bit like Bows, they wouldn't really upset the apple cart when they came into WNL. Be very much, sure, isn't it great to see more clubs in? Seems Rovers have upset quite a lot of people, and this game will carry an awful lot of significance.
Yeah, so as things stand at the minute, Rovers are 3 points behind Shells with a game in hand. So a win here would put them above Shells, I'm pretty sure. So that kind of adds a bit of needle to it as well. Look, they came into the league, they splashed around a few quid, and look, they took a few of Shells players in as well. So there's just that kind of added tension to it before a ball's even kicked. The game earlier on in the season was on TG Cahir as well, wasn't it? On Paddy's weekend, that ended 1-1. Jesse Stapleton and Ani O'Gorman on the score sheet there as well. So I personally think that game on Paddy's weekend, for all the games I've covered, was one of the kind of highest standard games I've seen. And I think both sides really wanted to prove a point against each other. Look, the Rovers have come into the league with this cash and this injection and stuff, and they're going to want to continue the legacy that the men have set in the Premier Division, and win things. And I think a win for them on Saturday could potentially see them go that bit further. But look, at P-Man still in the driving seat. So it will be an interesting game on Saturday. And if you can't get down to it, I definitely do recommend tuning in to TG Cahir and having a look.
They have a perfect record since the league resumed after the World Cup. Hammered Colester, Donnycarney, Handy Cup draw. Beat Cork 4-0 away from home. Beat Sligo 4-0 at home. And put 5 on Cork as well last week. So they're in free scoring form. I think the big thing, Ads, will be getting the defensive game in shape, because they're a team that can score goals.
Yeah, and I think at points this season, especially with Shell since coming back from Europe, I feel as though we've kind of started games slow at times. At times where you're kind of leaving yourself vulnerable. I think the game against DLR and Talca the other week, I thought Shells at points were very vulnerable, and that doesn't lend itself to when you're coming up against a side like Rovers, who have that firepower and who, as you said, will score goals. I think having Pirlo back is a massive boost, like a really big plus for Shells. You know, I think Maggie Pearce in defence has probably been Shells' player of the season. Leah Doyle has slotted in at centre-half as well, but you don't want so many moving pieces, especially in the back line. And I think Pirlo, we know our class, we know our quality, so having her back will be a big plus. And it's going to be interesting to see how Shell's kind of combat this Rovers attack. But again, like I said about the men's side on Friday, I think if Shell's can play their best game, they could be on to a positive result come Saturday.
It is for both teams this week, adds their biggest game of the season, because the team, same as the men's team, they need to win. Obviously, you look at it and you say, well, look, they're 6 points behind Piemont with 4 games remaining. They're not going to win the league, but we've seen strange things happen in this league. Look, Piemont will win on Saturday. They go to, or Treaty go to them, I should say. But they have to go to Wexford and they have to go to Galway. Galway have looked decent so far. They're high up the table. I think they're third or fourth, sorry. They're just behind Rovers. So are Wexford and Galway potentially going to take points off Piemont? I wouldn't be shocked. Then they'll end the season in November against Sligo Rovers in the league. So it's going to be such a big game. Like, they've only lost one match all season, so you'd have to be a little bit more so in hope than expectation that Piemont will lose again. But going into those games against particularly Wexford and Galway, I think they carry massive, massive significance. And look, all the pressure will be on them. Maybe that will spur them on to just romping home. Like when we went to Wexford last year, last game of the season, it was for all the marbles, all the pressure, and we won it in comfortable fashion. And maybe we'd see the same from Piemont. But to make an interesting last few weeks, and to give the TG Cahir camera something to to be excited about and to be filming. We really, really need to win in Talla on Saturday. And I think particularly ahead of the Cup semi-final the following week, from a confidence point of view, like, the season could be 7 days away from disaster. If you lose that league game, then lose that cup game, well, you've nothing to play for. So it's a massive, massive occasion. It's a defining moment for the team, for some of the players, for the management. I think it's going to be a big occasion. So I'd encourage anyone who can to get out to Talla.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well as that, this could be it. You know, we can be very quick at times to kind of look at the negative side of it, where it's, you know, it's all or nothing now. But should Shells win, that was harder to say than what I thought. Should Shells win on Saturday, and then, you know, you're kind of hoping that P-Man can drop a few points. And then from Shells' point of view, you win Saturday, you take that confidence into the cup game, and then you're potentially playing in another cup final as well. So it's all to play for. And look at this Shells side. We've seen them in crisis at times where they've managed games really well and they've come back into it. And, you know, I don't see anything different happening from now and the end of the season. Sorry, I'm extremely rattled here. Napoli have just scored against Real Madrid, but it's gonna make for a great game on Saturday. As I said, Talla, if not Talla, get down and look at TG Garrett, because they really put a lot into the game as well from their point of view. So do check it out.
Yeah, it's one of them, Adam. Exactly like you say, I've said it, brown in the face saying it, browned off saying it, I should say, and blue in the face. But don't write off this team, because people have written them off before and they've achieved incredible things. So, like, it's P-Mans to lose. All the pressure's on them. Shells can just do their thing and see what happens. And I definitely think there will be drama, especially with P-Mount having to go to, I think, Adam, both of those games against Wexford and Galway are away for them.
Mm. So the pressure's on then as well. Yeah.
They beat Sligo, they beat Treaty, but they won't fancy two of those last three games being away and being in Wexford and being in Galway. And look, Wexford and Galway will both, for their own reasons, look at P-Mount and say, look, here's a chance for us to have an influence and have a say. And if teams love nothing more than ruining someone else's season, you know?
Yeah, well, this is it. I think you always want to have the same thing, especially from Galway, who've really, you know, done well in this season. And I think we have to remember as well, it is essentially a half season with the World Cup happening. There's been a lot of interruptions in play, you know, especially from Shell's point of view, where they came back from the World Cup and then it was the European football and then they get a league game and then it was another international break. So it feels like it's been a completely non-start at times, and there's been very little time to manoeuvre and get good rhythm going. And I think from that point of view, it's probably frustrating for Michelle's side of things. But I think overall, look, at these sides are going to want to beat P-Mount, given the fact that there's so few games in the season. They're going to want to make a name for themselves as well.
Yeah, that's going to be very, very important. So it's very simple. Keep winning every week to make life interesting.
Put the pressure on P-Mount and hope that they fall again. These things have happened before, so you know, stranger things have happened, as they say.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a very, very interesting few weeks in the Women's League of Ireland. Adam, on the men's side, there'll be an email going out about it, most likely tomorrow. Tomorrow being Wednesday, but the club are looking to run Bring a Buddy for the Dundalk game, which will be a 20% discount if you buy a ticket for your mate, if you're a season ticket holder. The aim being, look, the game probably isn't going to sell out. Dundalk won't travel in massive numbers, but it's a big game. It'll be a big fight feel. It'll be an electric atmosphere, and there's no better time to get your mate down to a League of Ireland game. If they've been on to you this season saying, oh, I'd be interested in that, here's the chance. Discounted ticket, the cheapest ticket you'll get all season, and it's a big game. It's not a discount for a UCD or something Mickey Mouse. It's a big draw, European football on the line. So the club will be sending out an email to all season ticket holders advising them on how they can avail of their their 20% discount. I think it's a good initiative to try and hopefully get more people in the gate and more people into Talca, because the manager commented on it after the Bows game. Like, people maybe do not realize how important that is to have the fans behind them and creating the atmosphere, and it was huge, particularly against Pats at home. So yeah, it's absolutely vital. So if you have a mate and you're a season ticket holder, here's your chance to get them into a really big game, and a little bit cheaper than everyone else will have to pay. So 20% discount works out at the guts of what, €384.
I think as well, Darren, and I don't want to get too philosophical about this, but if people have been watching, you know, the Premier League especially recently, and they're probably becoming a bit disillusioned with, like, the likes of the officiating, like we talked about. But the Premier League, in essence, at times can be very sanitised. It can be very commercial. I think with the League of Ireland, and especially when you go to the game, there's something very pure about it. There's something very homely about it. You know, this is something, you know, myself and yourself, we've been going for years now, so we're kind of used to it at this point. But there's something special about it when you're there and you feel a part of something. And I couldn't recommend it enough. And yeah, definitely, if you have a mate who's interested, get them involved and get them down to Talca.
I love it. I've brought mates throughout the season. People I've worked with, people I used to work with, people I just know. And they've enjoyed it. Some of them have come back for other games. So it's a great chance to bring someone. It's going to be a big night. And yeah, it's one of those, like, I think if you try it once and you like it, brilliant. You'll want to keep coming back. There's an entire shared community there, and there's a real sense of exciting journey for the football club at the moment. So I think there's no better time. Even in the away section of Daily Mount, I didn't make it to Tallaght, I was working, but you're seeing so many people take so much from being there, and you can see the sense of, you know, anticipation and excitement and pride. And it definitely does feel a little bit different, ads, to following Shells over the last few years, where on a Friday night, if you're going to watch Cabo or Finn Harps or Longford playing us, you'd nearly be embarrassed telling people what you're doing with your Friday night, how you spend your time, where now you're proud of it. You're like, yeah, League of Ireland fan, Shells fan. And people think that's cool. They're like, oh, that's class. Oh, me and the Getty game. And I think LOI TV helps with that stuff. I think, you know, the videos, the Instagrams, the TikToks, there's a younger crowd coming, which is amazing. And it's brilliant to see. So look, there's every opportunity to get down to a game. If you want your mate to enjoy it, maybe don't bring them to UCD at home. Or we'll think of some way to try and flog that game, but it doesn't get any bigger. It's a massive game. Europe effectively on the line in some ways. So get down. The code will be sent out tomorrow, explaining how you can buy it. And yeah, as many people there as possible. Make it difficult for Dundalk, drown out their small away support, and yeah, win the game.
Yeah, that's all you can offer, isn't it?
Yeah. I should know, Adam, just because it's always important to mention it, the views on this podcast do not reflect the views of Shelbourne Football Club.
Yeah.
So sorry, referees, if you listen. If you're a referee, first of all, you shouldn't listen to the media. And if you do, you should probably say, why does everyone keep slagging us? It must be us and not everyone else.
No, Darren, we are the problem. It's us. We are the problem.
You don't understand the laws of the game, Adam. Not rules. People know laws. They're laws. We don't have rules in football. We good football people have laws of the game.
I'll have you know, Darren, there's no game without the referee. So yes. I for one stand by every referee and decision that's been made over the past week and a half.
Well, it's great to see that the referees have the support of a referee's assessor who usually has a clipboard and some chips and can't see fucking anything. So I don't know what they assess, because the same duds are on the pitch every Friday night. So the only thing more useless than the referees is the assessors.
Again, these are our views and not those of Shelbourne Football Club.
Very much my own personal views.
Oh, God.
Adam, prediction for Talla?
Look, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think it's with everyone coming back for Shells with Pirlo there. I can see Shells nicking something definitely, but it's going to be, it's easier said than done, isn't it? I think this forward side there is as good as they've ever been in the league, so it's going to be tough. But I'll be optimistic and I'll say Shells 1-0.
I think Rovers will score, so I'm going to go Shells 2-1. I think Shells will win both big games and we'll bounce into Monday. I think we're beating Dundalk 2-1. Mm. We're going to beat Rovers 2-1 too.
Mm. Happy days. Hopefully.
Adam, hit Red Sails in the sunset. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds. We'll leave it there, so.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.